Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back once again to another episode of Axel's Wrestling Review. As always, I'm your host, Darren Dyer, but better known in the Twitter world as Axel Mulligan. As I always like to say, whatever you want to call me, I'm sure I've been called much worse. Talking about NXT TakeOver this week, I've got a guest on the show. He's back. I've announced it on Twitter several times this week, Mr. Tim Vicious.
Glad to be back on here, brother.
How did you get the green room treatment this week? Was it as good as last time?
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, I absolutely loved it. You know, fresh coffee. You know, fresh coffee drinks, all of that. You know, absolutely love it.
Awesome. How you been anyway, man? Are you doing good?
Oh yeah, I'm doing good. Kind of dreading heading into work later tonight because the weather's dropping down into like the single digits. But price I'd pay for a paycheck.
See, that's quite cold over there, isn't it? Because obviously you guys work your temperatures in Fahrenheit, don't you?
Right now it's about 12, and by the time I get into work it's going to be about 10, and when I'm done work tonight it's going to be down to like maybe 2 degrees.
Shit, because we work in like centigrade over here, so it's like 12 degrees in the winter is quite a hot day for us, or quite a warm day for us in the winter, but it's weird to think like how we both sort of have a different sort of translations of it.
Yeah, I keep on going and looking at the unit conversion, I'm just like, I wish we had those numbers here right now.
Of course, obviously being on the East Coast, it's normally colder on the East Coast for you guys anyway, isn't it? Where it is,
yeah,
sort of,
especially in Erie. Yeah, especially in Erie, PA, we're the highest point east of the Mississippi. So, you know, normally used to cold weather, but this is like beyond cold weather what we normally get. This is like Uber almost cold. Feels like old school test wrath of God kind of weather.
Well, fingers crossed it gets warmer for you guys soon. As I say, we're talking about TakeOver. The announced team, which I was really impressed with, the announced team. We have Brennan, Graves, and Albert. I mean, I thought they did a brilliant job all night. I don't know about you, Tim, but I just thought they were awesome.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it, and I love the way that Albert and Graves were playing off of each other with their past in-ring experience. You know, if you know, you get two former in-ring competitors, you know, sitting next to each other calling the match, and then, you know, the way they were doing it, they were complimenting the guys they were complimenting the guys and putting them over while also reminding people, hey, I used to step into the ring. And I crack up every time Corey winds up having to talk about Becky Lynch, just because, you know, the way he talks about her. He doesn't insult her ring style or anything. He just doesn't like her character being like this rocker chick, which is hilarious because I know plenty of girls like that. Yeah, and I know plenty of girls like that. Like he said, she's the kind of girl that wears the band t-shirt to the concert. Yeah. And unless you've done a massive amount of concert hopping, you know, like you and I have, you don't get that insult. And I got it, and I was just like, oh damn, talk about a freaking hurt piece.
Yeah, man. I think Graves has done a really good job so far on commentary. He's sort of taken it to it like a duck to water, really, but I suppose that comes from having the knowledge of how the business works, really. As I say, I'm impressed with him so far. I'm not keen on Alex Riley, as you well know, so I'm glad that he wasn't
on. Oh god, no. No, and I just wanted to go down to Full Sail, find whoever had that free Riley sign on the pre-show and slap them.
it's almost as though he went to the JBL school of commentary, but JBL's a complete cunt, so I can't stand that guy. I just think he's a fucking cunt.
I'm still, like I said before to you, I'm still praying for them getting Steve Corino and Joey Styles to work commentary down there, because those two could, you could have them two read a phone book and it would sound entertaining.
it was so more entertaining than Cole Booker. Well, Booker I don't mind, but Cole and JBL anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, we digress. The first match was Itami versus Breeze, and they showed a short video from WWE.com before, where Breeze took out Itami after Hideo lost to Finn Balor last week on NXT. Well, I thought it was a really good way to kick off the show. Breeze came out with the selfie stick, and I just thought that was fucking hilarious. I don't know what you
that,
thought.
That like was absolutely beautiful. Yeah, those selfie sticks really are those kind of vain people, and that really helped put it over. And then having that fan jump over the rail.
That's what I was going to say. Who the fuck was she? Was she like a plant, or was she an invader, or what?
She was a plant. She was a plant. I hate to be that guy that goes and says who she was, because I don't want to be like that indie mark that says, oh, well, this extra was this guy from the independents. But,
Jimmy
you
Jacobs
know,
is a rosebud.
Curiosity, yeah. My curiosity got the better of me, and I looked it up. She signed the deal with Developmental. She just started there about maybe a month beforehand, and she was a former Hooters model.
I think we're all going to enjoy her work then.
Yeah, hopefully she doesn't wind up doing the same mistake Zahara did.
I mean, I saw her on... I'm pretty sure Triple H posted a picture before the show took place, and I'm pretty sure she was in the front row of that picture. I could
yeah,
be wrong.
She was. That's TNA Creative. I follow them on Twitter, TNA Creative.
Yeah.
They put up that picture and said, she's still working there. And it showed her, because she was like three or four people to the right of Hunter.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh,
yeah.
Dear God.
On the whole, I thought the opening match, I thought it was really good. You know, a lot of stiff kicks from both guys. And, you know, I don't think either man looked weak in the match. Breeze did a good job of working the leg over. But, I mean, what did you think of the match?
I absolutely loved it. And, you know, probably the two biggest things I popped for was Breeze's figure four half Boston crab move he did.
Yeah.
I have no idea what that move is called. That's all I'm going to refer to it as. And when Hideo had Breeze up for the GTS, because, you know, he keeps on teasing it, and I'm just waiting for when he legitimately does it, because then everyone is just going to be like, holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, that was going to be my next point. Will they eventually let him go with it? Because, I mean, my thought is that Triple H will let him go with it. When Punk makes his UFC debut, it was just like a fuck you to Punk.
I think he will. And a quick side note, I just want to get this out there. I'm when Punk does finally make his UFC debut, I'm hoping he goes and gets a really good ass whooping. But on the same hand, I also want him to do really good in a match, just because then he can make the business look good, saying, oh, well, this pro wrestling guy came into our world, and now he got his ass kicked, but he did good.
Yeah, similar to Brock, only Brock rarely got his ass kicked.
Yeah. Yeah, I just want him to do that. I want him that just so that way he can make the business look good.
Yeah. I mean, I you know, my displeasure for Punk, the way he just walked out with no explanation at the
yeah.
time. And I think it was a rather half-assed explanation on Cabana's podcast, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, and I pigeonholed a lot. I pigeonholed a lot of the things he said on there, and I'm not going to get into detail on it because I don't want fanboys and fangirls to attack, to come and try and attack you and me on that. But yeah, I'll save that story for another time.
I mean, Hideo won the match.
Yeah, but the Hideo and Tyler match was... But yeah, Hideo and Tyler's match, it was... I couldn't think of a better match to start the show with.
No, I mean, my
you know,
was
it was
really
the soonest rival... Yeah, it was the soonest rivalry match that was on there, so what better to start the show than with the newest one?
Yeah. exactly. I mean, the other thought I had was maybe the tag title match, because they've done that a few times, but obviously that was sort of later on in the card. But you know, Hideo won with the, it's like a sort of like a spinning kick to the head, just nice sort of simple but effective maneuver, I think, and it works for Hideo in his in-ring style for me. I mean, everybody knows of his past in Japan. Obviously, Japan's very is a very kick orientated style for smaller wrestlers like Hideo, and that sort of, I think that move sort of suits his style perfectly.
Yeah, and it's the way he works. You know, you could tell by the way Hideo's moving in the ring. He's really putting in effort to wanting to learn and study the WWE style on how to perform, you know. And you could also tell by on how much mic work he's been getting lately, he's learning more and more English and learning on how to speak English a lot more fluently.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, compared to when his first promo, when he was saying, I'm not going to be Kenta, I'm going to be Hideo, and then you compare that to the most recent, he's progressed a good bit.
Yeah, he's a lot more fluent now, which is obviously only a good sign. Obviously, you know, he maybe been taking some English lessons, or like just being around the guys, I suppose, would help him. But it's a good thing, you know. Obviously, that is, because you know, it might sort of progress him, or get him sort of pushed to get onto the main roster a little bit quicker. But I'd rather he stayed in NXT, to be honest with you, and I think a lot of people would agree with that.
Right now, I'm pretty sure everyone wants everyone that's in NXT to stay there, given on how the current product's going.
Yeah, well, there's a few guys that I couldn't give a shit about. Mojo fucking Rawley, for one, but he's injured at the moment, so long may that continue.
Yeah, but in all fairness, though, we do need some jobbers in there, so...
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Second match, speaking of... second match, speaking of Mojo Rawley, was his former adversary, I suppose, Bull Dempsey, against Baron Corbin in a no DQ match. And we got to see a new side of Baron, really. We got, you know, he showed that he can take an ass kicking and keep on ticking, as they say.
Yeah, I was a little shocked on how the match played out, given that it was a no DQ match. I was expecting like a few more chairs or table or something. Wasn't really any used. Not saying it was a bad thing, but it was nice to see something a little different. Instead of it being more like a no DQ match, it was more like just a more like an authorized brawl.
Yeah.
You know?
I
more so. And it really and it also added a I mean, this was what I would basically say this was like my Divas match for the night.
On piss break.
How I normally look at Raw or SmackDown. Yeah, you know, but it was something a little different, but it also added a nice extra layer to Baron, you know, saying that, okay, yeah, I can get my ass kicked, but I'm still going to get up and be like, what else you got?
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, you know, but and also though, and seriously, who designed that T-shirt for him though?
For Corbin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That it is. I don't know that design. It just that one just doesn't. I just saw it and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't really suit his character as such, does it? But. It's WWE merchandise.
No, I mean, I get the whole Lone Wolf logo. I get the whole Lone Wolf logo and all, you know. And, I mean, probably the best shirt designs in NXT, Vlad Villains, the new one Sami Zayn has, because that just looks like a ska album cover.
Yeah.
And Kevin Owens.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin's is quite a simple design, isn't it? But simple is... more often than not effective.
Yeah, and you know, and Balor, I gotta also mention Balor's design.
Yeah, no, that's a cool shirt. I mean, WWE.com might be taking some of my money come payday at the end of the month.
Quick reminder, folks, my birthday is in April, so if any of you feel like wanting to say happy birthday to me, that Sami Zayn shirt I just mentioned, yeah.
Just a subtle hint.
And there's my cheap attempt to try and whore myself out there.
Baron picked up the win. He hit the end of days just out of nowhere, really. I mean, I like the move. And don't get me wrong, I think Baron's got a bit of talent about him. But I think, I don't know about you, but I thought Bull really needed the win more than Baron in this match, because obviously Baron's won the previous two matches between them. But I just think Bull needed the win to sort of prove that he was worthy of this third match. And it just didn't really... I don't know, it didn't sit well with me. I prefer to have had Dempsey win the match.
Yeah, I think I walked into it thinking Bull was going to win because, you know, given no DQ and he says he's the last of a dying breed, he was going to pull out every last dirty trick he could to win. And really, the only dirty trick we really saw him try and do was grab a chair.
Yeah, which...
I was looking for Bull to win, you know, because it would have helped build his character saying, okay, yeah, I took out this guy who's supposed to be the next thing, who's supposed to be this big mysterious monster. What else you got?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. What's next for these two? Because, like, they've had three matches now. They can't really have another one because Baron's got nothing left to defend. And Bull sort of, he's at the bottom of the
battle. Yeah, I know they're... Yeah, well... Also, while I was watching the match, it wound up clicking in my head. You know, that match was to help try and pull away from the whole idea of finishing the matches in a short time, because, you know, the build up for it, they were seeing who could do the shorter matches.
Yeah.
And first time they went at it, I pulled out a stopwatch and I timed it. Their first match was 1:40.
Yeah.
And, you know, this one obviously was longer than that, so, you know, you'd tell they're playing away from who was undefeated and, you know, who can end matches in a quicker manner. You know, I'm trying to think where are they going to play this from here now, because, I mean, the only thing I could see Bull going for is him to try and take a page out of Sami Zayn's book, doing a Road to Redemption kind of thing, saying I'm still just as hardcore as I said I was.
Yeah, I mean, I was sort of hoping for, like, the show of respect afterwards, maybe turn Bull face and have them, you know, give them a run, maybe going for the tag titles. Obviously not straight away, but, like, give them a slow burn to get to that match. But I think that would have been a bad idea, because Bull works better as a heel, or he works quite well as a heel, rather. Obviously we've not seen him as a face, but I think he works quite well as a heel, so leaving it the way it was, and with Corbin just sort of placing the chair in front of him and kicking him out of the way, kicking him out of the ring, I thought that was a brilliant way to sort of end the match, because it's sort of like, yeah, get out of my ring, you're in my past now, I'm looking into the future.
Yeah, and I could see Corbin not as NXT champ, but I can see him being the guy chasing after it within, like, the next 4 to 5 months.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, it's one of those things, you know, whatever's next for him is, I'm sure WWE got something big sort of planned for Corbin, because they seem quite high on him. I'm just worried about Dempsey, but as I say, we'll see where they go with that one. Tag Team Championship was up next. It was Buddy Murphy and Wesley Blake versus a team I like to call Callistacara. And I was pretty pissed off that they shortened the names of Murphy and Blake, well, to Murphy and Blake. But I mean, what do you think of them as a team, and did their title win come too soon?
To be honest, I didn't really know much on them that first, so I did my homework on them, looked them up. They both only worked the independents for about maybe a year or two before signing with WWE, and they both signed relatively within the same amount of time of each other. And they kind of remind me in a sense of like when the Hardys first started getting more notoriety, like when they were teaming with Michael Hayes as a manager, and also kind of also for more of a modern perspective as far as the tag team goes, Ryder and Hawkins being the Edgeheads.
As long as
they kind of remind me in the sense like them. Oh God, I hope not. I always hope the best for the new boys, but you know, they're pretty good. They just don't really seem like. I don't know. Being a tag team guy, I just never really saw them getting the titles that soon.
No, I mean,
you know,
I think. They're just one of those sort of randomly thrown together WWE teams. For all intents and purposes, that's what they are. But they've obviously, you know, you can tell that they've been like working at the Performance Center to really sort of hone their craft. And I think that, you know, they've got some brilliant chemistry there. I mean, I talk to Kenny about Blake and Murphy quite often, and we're both sort of sold on them as a team. But again, the title reign, we both think it came a bit too soon, really. But yeah.
Yeah, and I still swear that the Vlad villains should have won the titles. You can't convince me otherwise.
I love the Vlad villains.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. They are the epitome of like what Vince wants for athletic, can perform, and they're entertainers, and they can entertain.
Yeah.
All in one sitting.
I'm hoping that'll be the next few. Moving forward, obviously, you know, Blake and Murphy retained the titles. Murphy hit a suplex, which Blake followed up with a frog splash, which I always thought was quite an impressive frog splash. I mean, it was no Art Barr, it was no Eddie Guerrero, RVD, but you know, I thought it was pretty decent frog splash. Do you think it's possible that we've seen the last of Kalisto and Sin Cara as a team in NXT? You know, is it possible that they could move forward onto the main roster as a team now?
I think it's possible. I mean, they had Sin Cara working Raw and SmackDown for the past couple weeks before that. And, well, you heard the rumors just as much as I did about on how they were thinking on having Kalisto as with like a Rico gimmick.
Yeah.
But thank God that those rumors they wound up finding out that whoever that Reddit Mets fan forever guy is was feeding everyone a load of hogwash on that.
To me.
And, you know, it's. So I think I see Kalisto being built up as like the next Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, because they want to have a lucha. They obviously want to have a luchador or two on the roster to, not to sound politically incorrect, but to appeal to the Latino crowd. And also the Lucha fan base.
Yeah, and I mean, since like the Sin Cara gimmick failed, I suppose, and they unceremoniously fired Alberto Del Rio, what have they got? They got Kalisto down there. I think it's, you know, they need to bring him up. Not necessarily too quick, but they need to bring him up because Rey's on his way out as well, by all accounts. And I think Kalisto, once he's up there, you know, I think it'll take him time to connect with the fans, but when he eventually does, I think he won't be as big as what Rey was. I don't think there will ever be another Rey Mysterio, but I think he could form his own legacy in the company, assuming they stick with the gimmick and Vince doesn't crap on it after 2 weeks like he does with everything else that comes out of NXT. But I love watching Kalisto.
Yeah, I remember as a kid, I would stay up until like 2 or 3 in the morning to go and watch the Lucha Libre wrestling on the Spanish channel, and just think, wow, that's a lot of flips. How do these guys do that? You know, and seeing Kalisto doing that like a springboard body splash in the middle of the ring, you know, seeing things like that, just like, dude, why can't we get something like this on a regular basis?
Exactly. Exactly. Moving on, the next match. After that match, we got, whilst Buddy Murphy and Wesley Blake were celebrating, we got the announcement of Solomon Crow debuting next week. It's another indie guy, formerly Sammy Callahan. Obviously, you know a lot about him, being a CZW fan. You know, what can we expect from Solomon Crow on the roster?
Hopefully, you know, I'm hoping that it's going to be good, you know. And, yeah, because I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of hesitant. I was hesitant when they first signed Dean Ambrose to WWE, given everyone knows his past with CZW, because, you know, I just thought, are you going to really be able to transition from Johnny Moxley into this? And, you know, and I'm kind of thinking the same thing. So, you know, I'm hoping for the best, but preparing for the worst.
Yeah, I mean, did you see there was an interview an article on WWE.com about Drake Younger's wrestling career? Obviously, he wrestled a lot in CZW.
No, I didn't get to see that, but I did know Drake was there. I know Drake was there, and, you know, if he's happy being a ref there, you know, it's just like the same thing with my argument about with Sarah Del Rey being a trainer instead of a wrestler.
Yeah,
as much as I would like to see them as wrestlers, if they're happy in the position they're in the company, you know, God bless them.
Absolutely. I'll send you the link to that article. I think you'll absolutely love it, Tim. Something I enjoyed reading. So I'll fire it over to you when we finish recording.
Awesome.
The next match, the number one contenders match, Adrian Neville versus Finn Balor. My first question to you, did you have your Kleenex by your side before the match started?
Yes, and if you don't, and for those that don't, for those out there listening that don't follow me and Darren on Twitter, you know, as far as with that reference goes, it is now forever known as the Randy Marsh moments. And dude, I will, quick little funny story. First time, my son, he watches NXT with me every now and then. First time he saw, I showed him Finn Balor's entrance. Wasn't the painted entrance, just him coming down regularly. He just looked and he was like, whoa, he's being a scary guy, Dad. And I was like, and he didn't say it in a terrified voice or not. And he just had that whoa kind of tone in his voice. And I just looked, I was like, oh, he's just doing that to scare the other guy, buddy. That's all. And showed him the painted entrance from when Balor and Hideo went against the Ascension. And he was like, now he's really being a scary guy. Is he scaring the other wrestler, Dad? Like, yeah, he is, buddy. And, you know, all I could think is Balor already wound up getting a connection with a 5-year-old that quick in that kind of a manner.
Yeah, I mean, talking about,
if he gets to keep this kind of a gimmick on the main roster, he's going to, you'll have a lot of people connect like that right away.
No, definitely, because it's sort of a bit boogeyman-like, and boogeyman was always over. The entrance I'm talking about, not necessarily in the ring, because boogeyman was crap in the ring, but he had that awesome entrance.
Yeah.
Just, the fans were just sold on it. And they still are. I mean, look at the Royal Rumble last month, and the fans still loved that boogeyman entrance.
Oh, yeah.
It's very similar to Finn Balor's in a way. But, I mean, the face paint, does he need that full-time? I mean, to me, the entrance just seems a little bit empty without it. And that definitely adds to the presence of
I don't think the paint's needed on a regular basis. I think, like, Albert put it over on the pre-show, saying that with Demon Balor, saying, like, that's for, like, he goes into that, like, deep, dark corner of the mind that people normally tend to be afraid to go near. And, like, have that be like, okay, Finn goes into that area when it's do or die time.
Yeah, so sort of like big match situation.
Yeah. Now, just as a hypothetical, Finn's on the main roster. He gets his first WrestleMania match. Just imagine the body paint as well as the performance just going from the gorilla to the ring.
It would be about a 35-minute entrance.
Yeah, you would have to have like a little orchestra there just playing the entire music.
Oh,
and everyone would just be like, oh my god.
I didn't even think about that. That would be fucking awesome. Similar to like, obviously, like what they did with Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton last year. Sort of have an orchestra on the stage playing the intro. Oh, man. See, this is what I love.
Yeah, that
to
or when
like
they
wrestling.
Had Motorhead play Hunter's song.
Yeah.
Yeah, that or when they had Motorhead playing Hunter's entrance that one year.
Oh, man. I didn't even think of that, so fair play to you, man.
Vince
McMahon booked this shit.
I brought it up to Vicky before. The way my mind works, it's a very weird creative kind of mindset. I'm like one part Heyman, one part Dusty Rhodes with like a little pinch of Russo on top. Yeah, it's a very weird mindset. It's a very weird mindset as far as like looking. Yeah, well, it's you talk about creative minds. You know, Lord knows I shit on Russo, but he has come up with some clever things here and there. I'll give the man his due on that much.
Nah, definitely. Finn, you know, he's using that running drop kick to set up for the double foot stomp. And, you know, Hideo sold it perfectly last week. Neville sold it perfectly this week. I'm hoping he doesn't come up against a guy. I mean, I think, like, a guy like Owens or Zayn's the best seller that the company's got. But I think if he were to come up against a guy like maybe a Bull Dempsey, then it would sort of, you know, it wouldn't be sold so much. So, you know, that's one move that he is using. But is it possible that we could see Bloody Sunday used? Or is the reverse high angle DDT a substitute for that move?
I think the reverse is because, you know, AJ Styles is using Bloody Sunday a lot now in New Japan. He's been using Bloody Sunday lately. You know, I mean, especially ever since that whole Styles Clash controversy started.
Yeah.
You know, he started using that also. And while I absolutely love AJ Styles and he does Bloody Sunday, pardon the expression, phenomenally, you know, give the man credit, Finn Balor, he really does the Bloody Sunday. I love when he did it. You know, I love seeing him do it in a reverse manner also. And aside from that, also the Sling Blade.
Yeah.
Just the way he moves and circles around so quick, it's like just one quick fluid motion, and if you blink, you miss it.
Exactly. And it's probably on par with Tanahashi, I would say, the Sling Blade.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I love Tanahashi, so I love Finn Balor. Vince McMahon.
Yeah,
and
you know, I'm just waiting for one day. I'm just waiting for the one day where Finn's just standing in the middle of the ring and does like Carl Anderson machine gun pose, just to go and be like, that one's for you, brother.
Yeah, because that's the thing that you don't see in WWE is like you don't see them paying homage to guys outside of the company now, whereas in like New Japan, Stryker said it at Wrestle Kingdom 9 when AJ used Bloody Sunday. It was like he said, you know, he's paying tribute to Fergal Devitt.
Yeah, and he even said, who's now signed with WWE going by the name of, and mentioned Balor, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, it was nice to see that. And on an unrelated note, absolutely love the commentary team of JR and Matt Stryker. Those two complemented each other so freaking well.
Definitely. I mean, we talk a lot about Finn Balor there. Not to sell Adrian Neville short, because I thought he was awesome as well in the match. I mean, that corkscrew moonsault 450 slash whatever the hell you want to call it, you know, that was fucking awesome. That was just a thing of beauty, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, and those two could. Oh my God, that was just a beautiful match. I absolutely loved it, and I honestly, I didn't really know on who to expect to come out for the win because, okay, Neville is still riding hot being the former champ. Balor's coming in hot. Balor's coming in hot in this match as the next up and comer. Who's gonna do what?
Exactly.
And you had to know both of them after they both got into the back. They just both looked at everyone and was like, top that.
Yeah. And I mean,
in which case then the women just looked, the girls just looked and they were like, okay.
Well, I mean, like Finn picked up the win. Well, he hit the running drop kick followed by the double foot stomp, obviously, which means, you know, he'll face the winner of Zayn and Owens, which obviously we'll get to later on. The NXT Women's Championship match was up next. It was Charlotte versus Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch versus Bayley. And with regards to this match, I've got two words for you. Holy shit. Quite possibly the best Fatal 4-Way match I've ever seen. And that's not me overselling the match. I just thought it was perfect from bell to bell. And Drake Younger, I envy him for refereeing this match. He had the distinct honour of being the man in the zebra stripes, or the zebra stripes as we call it over here in England. And he was perfect. He did a good job of refereeing the match. And I envy the bollocks off of him.
Yeah, you know, I always crap on the women's roster. I always crap on the women's matches on the main roster, you know, calling it the ST Divas matches. But the women in NXT, they just look and they go and say, okay, you want a show? We'll give you a show. And they, I honestly, I can't think of a woman's match in NXT I was actually disappointed on.
Yeah.
Not to say I was disappointed in a character, but disappointed in the match.
Yeah.
The only time I can probably think of one was when Charlotte did a squash match on Mia Yim, and that's only because I was hoping Mia would get more TV time.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, these like live specials that they do, they seem to bring out the best in the women's division. I mean, like the first one was Emma versus Paige, which just set the bar. Charlotte versus Natalia raised the bar. Charlotte versus Bayley, and Charlotte versus Sasha Banks, and now the Fatal 4-Way. Well, it's everything that we've ever wanted from a women's division and more. I think this is where the bar is set now, and anybody who's going to try and raise that bar again, you're looking at a 5-star match, I think.
Yeah, hands down. And yeah, it's all these girls, they showed they can work a match. You know, obviously, you know, Becky Lynch, she's done work across in Europe and Japan. Bayley, she's done work in Shimmer. Sasha, I'm not 100% sure. I believe she's done some independent work.
Yeah.
Not 100% sure. So, yeah. And Charlotte, she was obviously a personal trainer before starting with WWE, but the fact that her husband is Bram in TNA, and given who her dad is, you knew it was a matter of not if, but when she was going to lace up a pair of boots.
Yeah, it's like family legacies. If you're a Flair, you've got to wrestle. You've got to lace up a pair of boots. I mean, you look at, you know, families like the Rocks family, like the Yanoahi family, the Cologne family, the Harts, so on and so forth, the Von Erichs.
The Guerreros.
You know, if you're a Guerrero, if you're a Anoahi, if you're a Flair, you've got to lace up a pair of boots. It's in your blood. You've not really got a choice in the matter.
Yeah, you know, Ted DiBiase wound up putting it best, the one-time million-dollar man, Ted DiBiase. I don't remember which documentary I saw it in, but I know he said it somewhere. He was saying, well, my mother and father were both wrestlers, so, you know, it was just a matter of time before I picked it up. And then he just did that $1 million man laugh. So, you know, if it's in, you know, if it's in your family and it's in your blood, you know, and once it sinks its teeth into you, man, it is in you for good.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, with the $1 million man, that was passed on to his sons as well, Mike, Brett, and Ted. Ted had a decent little career in WWE until they decided to bury him in, what was it, like 2012. But, you know, he had a really good run.
Yeah, with that DiBiase posse thing. Ugh.
The guy's a natural heel, let him be a heel. But, I mean, like, you know, going back onto this match, I think the commentators helped make this great, especially Rich Brennan. I've not been sold on Brennan so much lately. I mean, when he came in, I thought, you know, he's a decent announcer, but he didn't really raise his level of expectation that the fans would have. He just sort of stayed at that same level for a little while. But, I mean, in this match, I thought he was just fantastic from start to finish. He really sold the high spots of the match perfectly with his reactions. As you mentioned, Graves with Becky Lynch.
Yeah, the way Graves is just like constantly fuming over Becky Lynch when she comes out, and he's just like, "Oh yeah, Becky, yeah, whatever. You can't win the you can't buy the title at Hot Topic." That was the best line I ever heard Corey say.
I love Graves. I mean, he's transitioned so perfectly into an announcer, and you know, he's actually getting something going with the wrestlers now. Whereas like, other commentators maybe don't have like a personal problem with the wrestlers. Graves is actually sort of making it personal, even though he's a babyface commentator. He's sort of making it personal, but he's doing it against a heel, which is a good thing. You know, some guys are just like, I don't like him, it doesn't give a reason, but Graves actually gives reasons to dislike Becky, which is what I love about the whole thing.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, you know, unless you've done a lot of concert hopping like you and I have, you wouldn't have gotten a reference. Corey said, like, she's the kind of chick that will wear the band's t-shirt to the concert, and those were the kind of chicks I always hated.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, man. You know, I mean, I would just be like, all right, I'm going to a Misfits concert. Oh, damn, the only clean shirt I got is the Phillies one. Okay, I'll wear that. I'll wear my baseball shirt.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I would get looked at, like, why are you wearing that to the concert? Well, why not? A fucking shirt.
Nah,
hate them kind of people that wear the band shirts at a concert.
Those days are long behind me. I mean, I've been to, I don't know, about 130 concerts in my life. So I learned after probably about 50. If you're going to a Motorhead concert, don't wear a Motorhead t-shirt. Wear something else.
Yeah, I went to at the Warped Tour a good bit of time, so you know the Warped Tour, they have stage A, stage B, stage C, and all that, so it was, that would be like an all-day event.
Yeah,
so you know, that was like getting like six concerts all in one setting.
Yeah, just have to constantly, you know, change your t-shirt after each band.
Yeah, so you know, I would feel bad for Becky on that one.
Yeah.
But speaking of the high spots in the match, I think probably my favorite high spot was when all the girls took the dive.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. When Bayley did that running drop kick through the ring post, a lot like what Sami Zayn did.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure she asked Sami on advice on how to run through the ring post like that. And then Sasha wound up doing the suicide dive, and then Charlotte just looked, she just kind of just shrugged her shoulders, and she was like, eh, why not? That's on how I knew she was having fun. I saw her just like, screw it, why not? I was like, she's fucking having fun with this match.
Yeah, I mean, there were three parts of the match that I love that I was going to mention. One of them was the suicide dive that Sasha did, which actually got a This Is Wrestling chant, which I thought was just a brilliant way for the fans to show respect to the girls in the ring.
Yeah.
One of the other ones was that wheelbarrow facebuster, which that Charlotte set up on
God.
Sasha and Bayley hit. I thought that was just fucking amazing because it was timed to perfection. And Sasha, she sold it so fucking perfectly. And, well, it was brilliant. And the third one was the Bayley to Belly off the top rope. And then when Sasha threw Bayley out of the ring and climbed into the pin and Charlotte kicked out. Did you see the smile on Sasha, on Charlotte's face, as it was as if to say, you know, we've got them.
Yeah, and that was beautiful. It was just all beautiful. You know, I can't think of a bad spot in this match. Like you said, from bell to bell, it was just perfect. You know, for a minute there, I was about ready to go and check and make sure if I was watching something from like Shimmer or Shine.
Yeah. No, I think these girls could hang. Like, these four are probably the best, well, definitely the best four women's wrestlers in NXT. You know, they've only got two others, being Carmella and Alexa Bliss, but these four, you know, these are the girls that are setting the standard every single week, and it's what makes a small division very interesting.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And how about the finish?
I was a bit unsure about it because, like, Sasha had the crossface in for quite a long time, and then obviously she used the backslide, didn't she? But what I would have preferred is
she backslided it right into a crucifix.
I mean, if Charlotte wasn't trying to kick out, you could sort of believe that the crossface made her pass out. But
I mean, I loved on how that came to be. I don't know about you, but I walked into that match thinking this is going to be Bayley's match. It's hers to win.
I said Sasha all along. That was my prediction all along, to be honest. But
yeah, and well, it's also no secret. I absolutely love the Bayley character.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, I kind of walked in there thinking she's gonna, because you know it's her character's time to shine. And but now that looking and thinking on it now, the way with Sasha winning it, you know, now it's just like, no, now it's definitely Sasha's time to shine, and it's gonna make her, and now that also makes bit it's also gonna make Bayley more hungry for the title.
Definitely. I mean, obviously, I think Charlotte obviously get a rematch over the next coming weeks. I mean, me and you, we were chatting a little bit last night, sort of yesterday afternoon for yourself, and it was like avoiding spoilers because it takes, if you read them, it takes away the surprise element of what is going to happen on the show. As much as I've not been able to avoid a couple of things, what happened at the TV taping on Thursday, I don't know what's happening with the women's division, and I'm really excited to know, because obviously, you know, these four girls just put on one hell of a show, and I can't wait for next week. I'm excited for it already. It's like 4 days away.
Yeah, and you know, whoever set the card up for the show, saying on what order the matches were going to be in, I tip my hat to them, because normally I think, okay, you normally don't think having the women's match before the main event is going to help anything, but wow.
Yeah, it sort of got the crowd pumped for the main event whilst being equally as pumped for just an amazing match. And speaking of the main event, Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens for the NXT Championship. And the thing that struck me first about this is that we had that awesome video package, and then in between that and JoJo doing the ring announcing, there was no commentary at all. And for me, it was really awesome, because it added that sort of big fight feel and let the TV audience soak in some of the arena atmosphere. I don't know if you sort of got that from, you know, not having the commentary, but that was just how it felt to me.
Yeah, it definitely did. And, you know, it's in the immortal words of Kevin Steen, the very first thing I thought of when they were both sitting in the middle of the ring was, you and I are destined to do this forever. That's the very first thing I thought of. That is the most infamous line to describe these two.
No, definitely. I mean, overall with the match, would you say it's fair to call this the most dominant performance in a WWE ring since Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam last year?
I would say so, yeah. You know, I mean,
that's putting Ascension squash matches to one side.
Yeah, definitely. Owens played it beautifully at first, you know, ducking out of the ring, you know, doing the mind games, and then Zayn just going right over the referee to get to him, and then having all... Yeah, and Zayn's offense consisted of nothing but quick power moves, you know?
Yeah, and it was like and pinning that attempts was, as well.
Yeah, and that was beautiful because that played to Zayn's credit, saying, okay, he's kicking the living crap out of me. I need to end this quick. And with Owens, just like, dude, seriously? You're going to try this on me now? Uh-uh. Now I'm just gonna do this to you.
Yeah, and it kind of worked in the sense of that, obviously, we've been given a little bit of the backstory, and it was like Owens as if to say, I know your next move, so when you try to hit me with a Huluva kick, I'm just going to duck out of the ring. And it just worked. It was, as I say, it was a dominant performance, but the way it was done was just so perfect for the situation that they were building up to.
Yeah, it's and you know, and leading right up into the end when Owens just doing like that. I don't even know on how to describe it. It looks like a shoulder breaker mixed in with a neck breaker.
Yeah, now that was fucking cool.
Yeah, doing that, getting a two count, and then just doing power bomb after power bomb. It was just, oh my god. Yeah. Dude, stop, you're gonna kill him.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, obviously the main talking point being the head injury, which Sammy suffered, which sort of eventually led to the end of the match. I mean, did you see anything like that coming? Because my prediction all along was that Regal was going to screw Sammy for basically forcing his hand into something that he didn't want for NXT. Because I've always thought Regal works better as a heel, and he had the perfect backstory for it. But I just didn't see anything coming along the lines of like an injury or a concussion or whatever.
I didn't see Regal coming in to play anything. I kind of saw it more leading to, like, I kind of pictured right when the docs came out that it would start to get to that. Regal come out, try and talk sense into Owen, saying, listen, you need to back off. Or in the perfect sense of on how Regal would say, listen up, Sunshine, you need to step away now. And then Owens just straight up decking him and then just going and destroying everyone and leading it to a no contest.
Yeah, I mean...
that's on how I first saw it, right when Docs first came out.
Yeah, I mean, eventually the referee stopped the match. Owens, what did he hit? Like half a dozen power bombs?
Yeah, I think so.
And given how well Sammy sold and took the beating, because it was quite physical, it wasn't. It was quite stiff. It seemed to me all those power bombs, just the way he sold the injury. And I think it's fair to say that this is just evidence of that he's the best at selling an injury in the WWE. I mean, people talk about Dolph Ziggler selling anything that he can, but Sami Zayn, he's moved ahead of Ziggler now for me in that sense.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, it's, and also to follow up on what you were saying on how it seemed stiff, I can tell you from firsthand experience, the better the friend you are with somebody in the ring, the harder you will hit them and the more you're going to trust them on hitting you to give a good show.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say that's
because, you know, it's there were plenty of times I would go and you would just be like, dude, listen, no, you need to do this shot. Just go and throw me through the damn thing. Yeah. You know, just something like that, and just be like, all right, just don't kick my ass later when you're crying about it.
Yeah, and that's obviously, like you say, that's like levels of trust that you have with, you know, obviously these guys are obviously real life friends, you know, and that's obviously the trust levels that you have with the guy that you're in the ring with.
Yeah, and the more trust and the better the friend you are with the guy, you know, the better the performance you're going to have.
Absolutely.
Hands down.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so obviously that sets up Balor versus Owens. The match has never happened before. So clearly Triple H is sort of trying to give the fans what they want to see. But what are you expecting from that match?
I'm expecting a lot of physicality, and I'm also suspecting Zayn's probably going to come in and do a screw job on Balor winning just because he wants a piece of Owens.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like that. I mean, that could sort of in turn set up a triangle feud then to get Balor involved in the Owens, like only for a short while perhaps, but maybe to get Balor involved in the feud with Zayn and Owens, because I think Zayn and Balor could have some awesome matches.
Yeah, because I also read on some dirt sheets that there's word that they may be interested in bringing Zayn up sometime soon. And with Mania right around the corner, that's always prime time on when to bring in new talent.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying it for months. What I want to see, if it's not going to happen this year, then next year, assuming that they're both still in NXT, Owens versus Zayn in a ladder match for the NXT Championship.
And there goes the Randy Marsh moment again.
Have you got your Kleenex
now,
with you?
Yeah. Now, just imagine they get that at Mania. And not to say that they actually do the move, but have either Zayn or Owens get someone in the prone position like they're getting ready to go and hit a package pile driver.
It's sort of like...
just to get them up
the
like that. Yeah, just get them up like that, and then next thing you know, you're going to have the roof off of every building of any place that is watching it.
See,
is going to explode.
I was half expecting it in this match, because obviously, you know, Triple H, he wants to give the crowd the best show possible, and we know that they're not going to use a package power driver because it's a move deemed to be too dangerous by the WWE, but at least if they would have teased it, I think that would have been just... fucking awesome, because the crowd, it would have just lifted them again, and maybe, you know,
yeah.
Even if they could have used it, you know, I mean, Zayn's taken that package power driver for years, and Owens has delivered it for years, and maybe if they'd have used it to sell the head injury as well, that would have just added more fuel to
and
the fire.
Yeah, and the most notable package pile driver I can think of that Zayn has taken is getting a package pile driver on a ladder at Ladder War. That has got to be the most recognized package pile driver I can think of.
No, definitely, definitely. But I mean, it's all you know, all systems go really for NXT now, because everything's just hot at the moment. You know, obviously you've got Balor's just come off of the match of the night against Adrian Neville, at least in my opinion, it was the match of the night. The women's division's alive, and the main event scene is more than alive.
The last three matches of the show were everything that everyone wants in wrestling, hands down. And it was just nonstop.
Imagine if that was on an hour of Raw.
If that was on Raw
or SmackDown.
Yeah, I still remember vividly when they had the NXT guys doing a tag team match on Raw, and my head just about exploded.
Yeah.
And the way the crowd just automatically, the second that right after they Justin Roberts said Sami Zayn, next thing you know, hearing everyone yelling Ole right as loud as they could, like, okay, yeah, these guys are definitely over.
Yeah, and it shows that, you know, Triple H and his team that he's got down in NXT, like the backstage and the wrestlers themselves, you know, that they're obviously putting on a product worthy enough of gaining that notoriety within the main roster fans as well, because it tends to go sort of, it gets looked over a lot NXT, because you know it's not like, you know, your John Cena's, Randy Orton's, Daniel Bryan's, and so on and so forth. But it's a more exciting brand of wrestling, and being like the indie guys, or sorry, big indie fans that both you and I are, this is just the perfect show for us within the WWE to watch.
Yeah, and I've brought this up before, and we were talking about this beforehand. You know, I was talking about this beforehand. It's everything that you love about the indies, but everything you don't like about it. It has everything you love about the indies with everything you don't like on it, on that show.
Yeah.
You know? Like, the big thing that always gets me about the indies is when the crowds start to heckle the guys when it's just a quick impromptu match. You know, no real explanation on the story. It's nowhere near on there.
Yeah.
You know?
I completely agree. I'm going to give you a moment. What was your hashtag Randy Marsh moment of the show? Like, one match, one moment of the show. What was your standout moment?
It was a tie when... when all the girls did the drops first, and also Balor just doing that running drop kick onto Neville into the barricade.
I completely forgot about that until you just mentioned it.
Yeah, because the way Balor just crept over at first, it kind of reminded me almost something like Predator. You know, like, okay, he's stalking his prey, and then next thing you know, he sees it, and he just did a running dropkick, and the way Neville just bounced off the barricade and just went right through it, it was like somebody got thrown through a brick wall.
Yeah, no, that was awesome. I've been sort of thinking about it as well. An MVP for the show, and I can't pick between Kevin Owens and Sasha Banks, and that's, you know, that's not doing a discredit. Like, I'm going to give honorable mentions as well to Bayley, Adrian Neville, and Finn Balor, but I can't pick between the two, between Owens's performance and Sasha's performance. I thought they were just both,
yeah,
phenomenal.
Yeah, Owens and Sasha, hands down, they really were the MVPs of the show. You know, I mean, aside from winning the titles, just the way that they actually went out there and performed the matches, you know, that's on my opinion on why.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, the future's obviously bright with NXT. You know, WWE have got a lot to look forward to for the future. And it's just going to be an exciting ride if any of these guys can make it up to the main roster and make a big impression. You know, guys especially like Adrian Neville, who's apparently on the verge of being promoted to the main roster. I'm just hoping that they don't give him the Mighty Mouse gimmick that's been talked about for a little while. But I mean, like
that. Well, you saw the one meme I put out there that was like my worst nightmare come true. Vince McMahon saying, "Hello, Kevin Owens. Welcome to Raw, where the big boys are. Your name now is Kevin Filet. You're a wrestling chef." My worst nightmare.
And as long as I have seen pictures as well of Owens in NXT, it's like a split picture. It's got Owens in NXT, like obviously how he is now, and then Owens when he gets promoted to the main roster, and I had a picture of him in the Brodus Clay outfit, like the Funkasaurus.
Oh dear God.
And it's the kind
of
thing that
God.
They would do, but let's keep fingers crossed that, you know, they don't fuck up what, you know, Triple H and everybody else's hard work down in NXT, because it is the show to watch right now in the WWE. That brings us to the end of the show. Have you got any shout outs, Tim?
Vicky Earls, obviously, you know. Also Robot Hammer and Sunday Segway, which Kenny just wound up putting out there announcing I'm going to be actually on there this coming Sunday.
Okay, cool.
So keep your eyes and ears open for that, kids.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I mean, I was on there last Sunday. I always enjoy going on there. One of the best podcasts.
Oh, yeah. Always a pleasure. Never a burden.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just like to give a couple of shout-outs of my own to Wayne and Marianne Mason. They were both at TakeOver. I envy the hell out of both of you guys. Hope you enjoyed it as much as everybody watched it on WWE Network did. They're like my NXT partners in crime. They go to a lot of the live events for NXT. As I say, hope you guys both enjoyed the show. Tim, we're going to be back doing the Ring of Honor 30th anniversary show with Cookie in March.
Oh yeah, I can't wait. Especially I just saw ROH TV this week with the new announcement for the grudge match between Roddy and BJ. I'm definitely looking forward to that, and I'm expecting Carino to come in and interfere there.
I mean, I was hoping it was going to be Carino versus BJ, but you know, obviously it works as well with Roddy versus BJ given their history with the Decade. But it's just that show at the moment, the card is just one big huge Randy Marsh moment.
Yeah, that and I'm Moose versus Mark Briscoe.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool. I like Moose as well, you know, he's quite agile for
a
former footballer, a big guy and everything, so just
yeah. And the big thing that's great about him, and Kevin Kelly even said it at Final Battle, he's coachable. And when you're looking to build up the next big talent, that's the best thing you got to look for. That's the biggest thing you got to look for, is on how coachable they are.
Definitely. As I say, me, you, and Michael Cook will be reviewing that. The pay-per-view's on March the 1st, and hopefully we'll get to sort that out at some stage, you know, in the week afterwards. Anybody who's listening, Tim, let them know where they can catch your YouTube show.
My show, Vicious Rants, it's hashtag Vicious Rants. My YouTube page is Tim23Vicious, and I'm out there on Twitter at TimVicious, and my backup is Tim_Vicious.
You're not going to mention the Facebook gimmick there?
Oh, no, I forgot all about that. I also got that whole Facebook gimmick now going as Tim Ash on there. And I use Ash for the last name because I still believe in kayfabe and don't put my real last name out there.
I don't really have a choice in the matter because I set myself a precedent years ago when I joined up to Twitter. So I've even dropped the Axel Mulligan gimmick as well now.
That's all good, man. It's all good.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for coming on the show, Tim. Always a pleasure, you know, just to chat wrestling with you and shoot the breezes, you know, as they say.
Always love being on, man.
You know, we get the big names.
Can't wait, man. There you go. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, to everybody for listening. The show is available on YouTube, Podomatic, and on iTunes as well. That'll be up at some stage, hopefully today. Thank you everybody for listening. Thank you for coming on, Tim. I'll be back again next week with the Ring of Honor review, with the NXT review, and I'll be doing a preview of Fastlane as well. So thanks everybody for listening. I'll be back again next week.